Morning. It is a joy to be back here with you. For those of you that don't know, we worshiped here for a couple years and before we moved to Thailand, and so it's just a great joy to be here. Thank you for having us back and welcoming us. My friend Jupe says to me one day, he says, "We're going to leave in 2 hours." I said, "Where are we going?" He said, "We're going to Pitz Noodle." I said, "Pitz Noodle?" I'd never heard of Pitz Noodle, but it was a province about 6 hours from where we were, and he was helping us find a car. What they don't tell you is when you sell everything on this side, you get to buy everything back on that side. And so we were in that process, and Jupe says, it's his idea. We looked at a car in our town, and he said, "Well, I know of this other car I saw, and it's 6 hours away, but I'm thinking we'll just get a bus ticket, and we'll go." And it's about 3, 4 o'clock when he tells me this. We'll get there at about 11. We'll meet the owner. We'll look at the car. It'll be a little dark, but I got flashlights. It's no problem. And if we like the car, we'll buy it, and then we'll drive it home through the night. And if we don't like the car, then we'll just stay the night, and we'll take the bus back 6 hours the next day. I said, "Oh, well, okay." And we don't have a lot of people asking to help us find a car. So I'm like, "Okay, we'll do that." So I tell Kristen, I have to go to the bank to exchange money. Jupe tells me, "You need to bring $7,000 in cash." I said, "Oh, okay." And so I get all that done, get the bus ticket, get on the bus. We're going to Pitz Noodle. About halfway there, Jupe turns to me and he says, "Now, before we get off the bus, I'm going to need you to give me the money." I said, "What?" Now, I've known Jupe a little while, but to be honest, I don't fully trust him. He's a Christian, but he's not that mature of a Christian, and he's a little bit shifty of a character. And so I'm thinking, "Oh, okay, well, why is that?" "Well, I told the sellers that I was coming to buy the car and that you're my boss and that you were just coming to make sure that I was using the money that I borrowed from you to actually buy the car." I said, oh, okay. And he says, "And one other thing, don't speak any Thai when you get off. Just make sure you speak only in English." I said, why are we doing all this, Jupe? Why'd you tell them all this?" "Well, if we told them you were buying the car, they wouldn't discount it at all." I said, "Oh, okay." So I get out the money and I hand it to Jupe, and Jupe's like, no. I said, "What?" He said, "I don't want it now. I'm scared." I said, "Oh, okay." So he was scared that someone was going to rob him. I was like, "Okay, well, I'll just hang on to it till we get there." So we get there and I give him the money. And to make a long story short, we didn't like the car. And so we asked the sellers if we could stay at their guest house. And so we stay at the seller's guest house for the night. I wake up the next morning and Jupe's gone. And I look for his stuff and his stuff's not in the room. And so I'm thinking, well, this is odd. So I check my bag to see if the money was there. And it was, fortunately, and he'd gone out for some breakfast and came back. But I share this story because this has pretty much been a constant in our life the past 14 months. There's been confusion, there's been lots of stress, and there's been a lack of understanding on many parts. We're not the type of missionaries that are going to come here and try to tell you how we're heroes and we've done these amazing things in Thailand. The reality is the past year of our lives have been extremely difficult for us. Paul says to the church in Corinthians, in the first chapter of 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we even despaired of life." And he goes on to say he wanted them to know these things so that they would be committed to praying for them. All those things that Paul said in that verse, we can also say. It's been a tough year. We've been under tremendous stress, far beyond our ability at times, so that we felt like we could endure. And we've despaired of life at times. I'm not going to share with you this morning about being robbed in the middle of the night while we slept. I'm not going to share with you tonight about spiritual warfare that we've encountered this morning. I guess not nighttime. And there are many other experiences that we're not going to share with you. Instead, I'm going to share with you 3 questions that we've wrestled with this year and some of the ways that God has revealed himself in the midst of those questions and some of the answers that he has been showing us in the midst of the journey that we've been on this year. Before we go further, let's just bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are God of all people and of all nations. Lord, we pray that during this time you would open our hearts and our minds that you would help us to find you and to listen to your Spirit. Lord, you help me communicate well and to communicate the things that you have written in our hearts. Lord, we thank you for this time and the ability and freedom to gather together and to worship you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thailand is a culture that has had missions for about 200 years. Buddhism is the main religion. About 98% of Thais are Buddhist. They are taught this from a very young age. I teach first grade in Thailand currently. My first graders are shown videos of Buddhist hell, which is pretty similar to Christian hell, a lot of fire and suffering. And I was sitting there one day in class when they were watching these videos, and a guy was stabbing himself in the head, and blood was squirting everywhere. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know how people in the U.S. would react to this, but it sure is strange to me. There's the system of karma, and so everything balances out. There's a fairness as a result of karma. And this is the culture that we moved in. We moved into a town called Lampang. Lampang is a city of about 150,000 people, and we moved into a certain neighborhood. And our house, we actually have a picture of. There's our house. It's a Thai neighborhood. We're the first Americans or foreigners to live in this house. And the first night, we look across the street, and there's a restaurant. When I say restaurant, I mean someone's front yard with a couple tables in it, where they welcome and feed people. And so we said, well, we don't have food. Let's just go over there. So we went over there, had some food, and then we went on a walk around our neighborhood. On our way back, one of the guys that runs the restaurant called out to me, and he said, Justin, come over and hang out with me. I said, okay. I said, give me 10 minutes. We have to put Elise to bed. And so we did that, and I came over and began a friendship with our neighbors. And Kristen joined on a lot of occasions. And so our neighbors that live across the street is this family, Song and his wife, Joy, and then their 14-year-old daughter, Peanut, and their 5-year-old son, Fett. And while it was a restaurant across the street, after we met them, they could have put a sign up that said, information for the Gravits. Because once we were friends with them, whenever we needed something, we went across the street and asked Song. And this was many, many occasions. We needed to find the market, a plumber, how to change the oil, where to go for that. Where's a map? How can we buy a mattress? How can we buy a motorbike? And I'm just waiting for them to give me some nonverbal cues of, you know, okay, you know, maybe you can find some other people to bug for these things. Because of Buddhism, Thais don't ask people for help very often. And so it stands out to them that we would do that, but they also understand that we would do that. But the first question that we wrestled with for really the first 7 months that we were there was, who's helping who here? I mean, we had come from Lafayette. We sold everything that we had. We moved across the world to help people and to serve them and to share Christ's love with them. And we're looking around and we're thinking, we're not helping anybody. In fact, we're pretty helpless here. And so that was a really hard thing for us to experience. And as we wrestled with that, God laid on our hearts John 12, 23 through 26, which I actually want to read with you this morning. And to set the context a little bit, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this is entering the final week of his life. And he's preparing the disciples for what's going to come. And so it's up here above as well. I'll try to get out of the way. He says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." As we were chewing on this verse and thinking about it, we began to realize that our being there and being helpless was a lot like the seed who is dying. And dying is not pleasant, and it hasn't been pleasant for us. But also, as we thought about that, we never pictured being in such a dependent place. We knew that it would be tough, but we thought we could make it ourselves in a lot of ways that we couldn't. And one of the things that God whispered to us was, you know, when that seed is dying and when it's in the soil, where does it draw nutrients from? I thought, thought, well, I guess that's a good point. I mean, the soil. And so we have planted ourselves in the Thai culture, and we are drawing from our Thai neighbors and Thai friends. Our friends know that if they don't help us, no one's helping us. And so there's a mutual dependency. Well, it's not mutual yet, to be honest. But we hope that there will be someday. But there's a definite dependency from our end on them. And in contrast, many missionaries go with everything figured out, the language learned, you know, programs in place to join and be a part of. And we have chosen not to go that route. And so we have gone a route where there's dependency, and the relationship that's been created has been significant. But to be honest, this choice and the way that things worked out was not our plan. When we left, the plan was for me to manage an Apple computer store that a friend of mine was opening in Lampang. About a week into our time in Thailand, I was talking with the owner and working with the government to get a visa. And it just worked out that that wasn't going to happen. To get a visa through this friend's company, it would have raised the company's taxes an extreme amount. And my friend just said, I'm sorry, we're just not going to be able to do it. And so what I did was I went around to the schools in Lampang and just showed up and said, hey, do you need an English teacher? And I finally found one that needed an English teacher. And they said, well, come back for a second interview. The principal will be here. Again, you can talk more. Come back in about a week. I said, okay. So I go back, and it's 9 in the morning when school starts. And one of the older teachers comes and gets me, and she says, okay, Justin, come with me. I said, okay. So I follow her into a classroom of about 35 Thai first graders. She says, Justin, you will teach here. Oh, okay, as in you will teach here now. And so I said, well, how long will I be teaching right here? And she said, for about an hour, I'll come back to get you. Okay. Well, I'm certified to teach English as a second language. I've taught adults. I've never taught kids. And so I have 35 first graders who, if I say raise your hand, just stare at me blankly to teach English to for an hour. So I did that, managed to get through an hour. I'm exhausted. The teacher comes back. Justin, come with me. Okay. Takes me to another classroom with 35 other first graders. You will teach here this hour. Oh, okay. So fortunately, I had an hour's worth of experience with kids. So I did the same thing. And it was a little less tiring, but still very tiring. But it worked out that I ended up teaching at that school. And after a few weeks, I was busy, and I was trying to figure out this new job and trying to figure out language and culture and trying to keep things going at the house. And, you know, my wife and I are just extremely stressed. And I realized that about a week has gone by since I've really talked to Song and the family across the street. I talk to them. We see them in passing, but I've never really hung out with them for about a week. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get to that. Another week goes by. Nothing had changed. And then another question comes to me. And the question was, Justin, if you don't have time to dwell with Song and his family, what are you doing here? It's like, oh, it's a good question. And so I went over one night shortly after that, and it was the last thing I wanted to do, to be honest with you, was go over there that night, but I felt like God was telling me I need to go. I was tired. All I wanted to do was relax and go to bed. I went over. Song's wife wasn't around. His kids were out somewhere doing something. It was just Song and I, and we were talking. And Song shares with me, this was about 6 months into our friendship. He shares with me, as a result of me asking any question that I could think of, how's your parents, how's your family, you know, very deep questions. And we get to talking, and he says, well, I don't know if you know, but my sister lost her husband about a year ago. And we're friends with her sister and her kids. I said, no, I didn't know. What happened? Well, her husband died in a motorcycle accident, and I was sympathizing, and he said, but she doesn't think she wants to get married again because it was kind of a rough situation and a bad marriage. I said, oh. I said, well, I can pray for that. And then as we talked some more, he said that his parents, his dad specifically, when he was 8 years old, when my friend was 8 years old, his dad had a big fight with his family and his parents and extended family, and so they moved from the family to where they're at now. Extremely rare in Thai culture to not be really unified with your family. And so as we talked about that, I asked him how it impacted him and things like that. As I walked away that evening, I realized, if I hadn't been there, I wouldn't have learned those things tonight for sure. But maybe not in the future, I don't know. But those were real places where the gospel needs to move in to our friends' lives and to the lives of their family. And we're friends with their whole extended family as well, the parents and the sister. Back to John 12:24, I feel like we were struggling and we were dying. And God says, I want you to go. I want you to use your time and use your energy. As I thought about that, I thought, well, that's a good question, but if I'd been in the U.S., I never would have asked it. Because I never need to ask in the U.S., what am I doing here? Where else would I be? It's where I was born, it's where I was raised, it's where I belong. But in Thailand, it's natural, it makes sense for me to ask that question, what am I doing here if I'm not going to spend time with my non-Christian friends and really dwell with them and spend a lot of time? And perhaps there's some overlap for those of you that are here this morning. When God asks us to die, I really believe that he's asking for our time. You know, our life is essentially time. When our time's up, our life is over. And we trade our time for money at work. And we use our time for different things. But in our culture, I know that time is one of the things that we feel like we have the least of. As I've dwelled with Song, and as our family has dwelled with Song and their family, a unique friendship has developed. And it's one where he's called me his little brother for a long time. He's about 10 years older than I am. And even in the midst of that, Song is really not too interested in the gospel, it doesn't seem like. He doesn't ask a lot of questions about God. But when we dwell with them, we share our lives with them. And so we tell them how we're struggling. We tell them when we're missing home, when we miss Papa John's, which I thought about for many days while we were gone. And he doesn't really get it, but he listens because we're friends and we have a mutual love for one another. And I also tell him about God. And I tell him about things that I'm learning in the Bible and questions that I'm thinking of about God. And he listens and he asks some questions, but he doesn't always seem that interested. In fact, most of the time he doesn't seem too interested. And so the third question that we often deal with and comes up is, are we making a difference here? And is it worth it? This life that we're living away from our friends and our family and where we are struggling many, many days, is it worth it? And maybe it's a question that you struggle with too. Are you making a difference with your non-Christian friends? And we do a lot of things in Thailand that we don't enjoy doing. Per se. Some things are just okay. Some things aren't so much fun. We eat bugs. We sing karaoke in our friend's front yard for the whole neighborhood to hear. I am often requested to sing Hotel California, and I'm really hoping I don't have to hear that song while we're in the U.S. And they love it. They love singing karaoke, and I don't quite understand that. But we do all these things, and 95% of the time that we're hanging out with them and spending time with them, there's no mention of God. There's no talk of spirituality. It's just us living life with our friends and sharing who we are with them. I believe at the core of this question, am I making a difference? Are we making a difference? Is it worth it? Is a value, a high value on efficiency and productivity, which is a high value in our culture in the U.S. But as I thought about that and wrestled with that, I'm not sure that that's a high value of God's. When we think about Jesus coming to earth, he was here about 33 years. Less than 10% of his life, to our knowledge, did he focus on ministry and have a burgeoning ministry. Less than 10%. Even today, as we think about God and his desire to reach the world, I can think of a lot of ways, if I were God, that would be more productive or efficient. I could zap into all the TV channels and either appear on camera if I were God or put up text or whatever. I could write it in the clouds, scripture. There are lots of things that he could do, but he chose to do it in his way and in his time. And that's difficult for us, to be honest, when we feel like we're investing so much and seeing so little come back. But I feel like God's teaching us to dwell and to wait on Him. A few months ago, Song invited our family to go meet some other friends of his. And so we went across town and we met some friends and they were playing with Elise. And Song and I were sitting at a table with his friends eating some food. And they're speaking in Thai. And in where we live, there's Central Thai, which everyone speaks and learns in school all across Thailand. And there's Northern Thai, which is a different language that's only in our region of Thailand. And we are learning Central Thai and can do pretty well on that at this point. But Northern Thai, I know 5 words. And so they kind of switch in and out of that at times. And so they were doing some of that, and so I was getting lost in the conversation and just trying to enjoy just being there and being with him. And then he switches back into Central Thai, and I hear my name. And he says, "I have learned a lot from Justin and his family." And so my ears perk up. I'm like, "Oh, this is interesting." And as he keeps talking, he says, "I've learned about parenting and some of just by watching the way that they handle Elise and play with her." And then his friend asked a question that I didn't quite understand. And his response was, "Oh, no, Justin's not like that. Justin follows Jesus. Justin doesn't follow religion." And so they start talking about my faith. And I'm sitting right there and understanding. And she asks him another question about my faith. And he shares more about Jesus. And so I'm thinking, this is cool. I'm sitting back eating food and Song's witnessing for me. I could get used to this. And he did a great job. I mean, it was clear and honestly surprising to me that he had been listening so closely to the things that I'd shared with him. So closely that the things that he was sharing, I would have shared it the same way or virtually the same way. And so that is an encouraging experience that we've had. I had a similar experience at the school that I teach at with some of the teachers, and the exact same thing happened. My friend ended up sharing Christ for me. And so those are some encouraging things that are going on. But we believe it's because we've been willing to dwell with them. Like I said, 95% of the time, there's no talk of God. There's no talk of our relationship with God. It's just hanging out. But there's been a depth that's been created as a result of that. We believe that Jesus lives in us, and so that when we dwell with our friends and when we dwell with people, we believe that they encounter Christ. And that is exciting. And so because we believe that, when we spend time with them, when we dwell with them, we don't feel like we have to get in a word for God every time. We believe that who we are and living our lives and just sharing the entirety of our lives, our relationship with God, our struggles, the things that are going on at the school, the things that are happening with other friends, that they experience and encounter Christ in the midst of that. One of our favorite Thai holidays that they have is called Songkran. There are a couple pictures in the slideshow of it. One is holding a squirt gun. It is the world's biggest water fight. Literally, all across the country on this day, and it's super hot, you just throw water on people. Doesn't matter if you know them or don't know them. That's irrelevant. And so we were standing on the street, and when motorbikes went by, we would spray them and throw buckets on them. And then later on, we got in the back of Song's pickup truck, and we went around town in the middle of the town, and people threw buckets of water at us, and we were throwing it back at them. And it was tremendous fun. When we went over to meet with Song at the beginning of the day, he says to me, "Justin, I have a gift for you and your family." Oh, okay. And so he hands me this. And I didn't know what it was, and to me it looks like, you know, just a piece of fabric that's been worn a little bit. And so I said, "Oh, thank you, thank you. What is it?" He said, "Oh, Justin, this is called Kong Ti La Luk." I said, "Okay." And which translated, it means a gift for your family, for your child. I said, "Why are you giving it to us?" He said, "Justin, we want you to wear this today, and we want you to keep it. Because when you wear it, everyone will know that you are accepted by Thais, and that you are Thai. And we give it to people that are in our family. And so he is giving us this gift and saying, you are a part of our family, and you are Ty, and you are a part of us. That was a good day. It was a good day. To be honest with you, most of our days are tough. And most of our days, we face discouragement, we face loneliness, we face trying to understand a culture that sometimes, after we understand it, we wish we could go back and not understand it, just because it's so different and it's so, it's difficult to live the way that they live. One example, this is a matriarchal society, and so at the school, I am treated like a child by my coworkers, who are all women, middle-aged women. Because I'm younger, and because they treat me the way that they would treat a Thai man, which is like a child. And in some ways, they earn that. The Thai men earn that in some ways. But for me, it's really difficult coming from our culture. And I feel disrespected a lot of times, and they don't mean it at all. But I feel like an American, and they treat me like a Thai. And in some ways, that's great. And in some ways, it's really difficult. But as I said to you at the beginning, you know, we are here sharing who we are and what we're doing. Not because we want sympathy. We are excited about where we're at and what God's doing. But in the midst of it, it's tough. And we really do need your prayers. And we really do need you behind us, praying for us diligently and regularly. And I know so many of you already do, and we're very thankful for that. For those of you that don't know us and haven't known us before, there's a sign-up sheet on the back tables, both of them actually, where you could sign up and get our monthly update email, which shares with you what's been going on and what our prayer needs are and how you could be involved in that way. But those three questions, who am I serving? If I don't have time to dwell with my non-Christian friends here, what am I doing here? And am I making a difference, and is it worth it? Are questions that I hope in some ways you think about in your own life, and is there crossover relevance for what you're doing here in America and the way that you are reaching your neighbors and your coworkers? And that you would continue to pray for us to lay down our lives for our friends. And when we have that question come up, which is prompted partly by us and partly by Satan, I believe, of is it worth it, that we would be able to lay down our life and our time and say, you know, if God calls us here for the rest of our lives and we see nothing that we would measure and say, that was worth it, that we could think about that and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do that for you. If that's your call in our life, we're willing. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for this time. Lord, I thank you for your heart for the nations. Lord, I pray that you would sustain all of us in this room as we continue in ministry, as we reach out to our non-Christian friends, and as we share our love with those of us who, with those that don't know you. Lord, I thank you for the community of believers and the fellowship that we have in this room and with so many around the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.